Well, again, good morning, church. It's great to be here with you. Today we're continuing our journey through Lent, or through Mark this week, as we are in Lent. Last week we talked about Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15, about how Jesus was baptized, led into the wilderness, and then how he proclaimed that the kingdom of God was at hand, the time had come. And this week, we're going to be learning about how Jesus, last week we talked about how Jesus is our example, leading us and showing us the way. This week, we're turning the page to Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 17, which we have already heard read. And this week, we're going to be talking about how Jesus is our equipper and why it is important for us to see and to recognize this. You know, Children's Sermon was a wonderful setup. Thank you, Kelly, for all that. But have you ever been in that kind of a position where you did not feel like you should be there? Or you kind of felt out of place? It sounds an awful lot like a story I heard recently. One Sunday morning, a mother went to wake her son to tell him it was time to get ready for church. And the son said, "I'm not going." And she said, "Well, why not?" And the son said, "Well, I'll give you two reasons. First of all, they don't like me. And two, I don't like them." And the mother said, "Well, I'll give you two reasons why you should go to church. One, you're 54 years old. Two, you're the pastor. So get going." Oldie but a goodie. So in our scripture today, we learn about this man by the name of Levi. Now, I'm going to call him Matthew more than likely the whole time. Levi is the Hebrew name. Matthew is the Greek name. Matthew is the same guy who wrote the book of Matthew, one of the 12 disciples. And so I'm just going to wind up calling him Matthew. I'll just say that right off the top. But Matthew was a Jewish guy living in a Jewish culture. You'd think he should be he should fit in, but he didn't. And the big reason why was that Matthew was a tax collector. And in Jesus's time, tax collectors were despised because they were working for the enemy. Right? Israel was occupied by a foreign government. It may have been Israel, but the Romans were the ones who were in charge. They were the ones collecting taxes. You weren't sending money to Jerusalem. You're actually sending them off to Rome, to the emperor. And the way that these taxes were collected were often very strong-arm tactics. There was a lot of corruption. Today, a similar figure might be someone who's betraying their community for personal gain. And that really brings us to our first point this morning about Jesus being our equipper, and that is that Jesus calls us as we are. Jesus calls us as we are. So let's read that passage of scripture again. It says, "As Jesus was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. 'Follow me and be my disciple,' Jesus said to him. And so Levi got up and followed him." So Matthew was right where he always was, acting as this agent of the occupying army, collecting taxes from his fellow countrymen and women, and Jesus just comes walking by. Matthew wasn't sitting there thinking, "I'm thinking I should stop doing what I'm doing and follow Jesus." He didn't have an epiphany. He didn't decide that, "You know what, today's the day I'm going to stop ripping off my neighbors and realizing that that was a bad thing." Matthew did absolutely nothing to deserve this calling, right? He was simply going about his daily business. The world around Matthew saw him as an outcast, a traitor. But that's not what Jesus saw. Jesus didn't even come to Matthew and say, "Hey, Matthew, I could use a guy like you on my team. I need a good numbers guy. Matthew, I want you on my team, but first, I need you to clean up your act. I need you to quit your job and deny any connection with the Romans. then and only then will you be suitable for God's use. Matthew didn't say any of that. Jesus didn't say any of that. He simply looked at Matthew and said, follow me. You know, Jesus calls us as we are, not as what we think we should be. Now, this is a true story. A couple years ago, I met a guy who was a part of the disaffiliation team of his church. We had the opportunity to talk back and forth, and he began to tell me his story. And he was a pretty colorful guy. It was an interesting story. It did not go where I thought it was going to go. Turns out this guy owned a strip joint. You know what I'm talking about, right? He sold videos and magazines. This is a guy who didn't think he belonged in church. But then one day, somehow, Jesus got a hold of him. And Jesus didn't come up to him and say, follow me when you get your life cleaned up. Instead, he had an encounter with Jesus, and because of the love and welcome he experienced by a church. And because of Jesus, he didn't sell his business. He simply closed it. And this guy became a part of the congregation, and at the point when I met him was a leader in his congregation. There are times when we all of us feel like we are uncallable. Every one of us has failed. Every one of us has messed up. We judge ourselves. We don't like what we see. But that's not the good news. That's the world's news. The world looks at the outside, looks at what we have done and judges it as right or wrong. The good news is that God takes us where he finds us. No preparation needed. He doesn't call us because we're ready. He calls us so that he can equip us. There isn't some level of spirituality we need to gain before we can come to Jesus or come to church. We don't have to be perfect. We just simply have to come and follow after him. And that leads me to point number two, and that Jesus equips us through relationship. You know, Mark continues in his word. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many, I like this, this is parentheses, in, at least in the NLT, there were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. It's kind of like a wink, wink. I love that Matthew simply didn't just follow Jesus. But Matthew invited Jesus into his life. Matthew invited Jesus into his circle of friends. He invited Jesus into his messiness. Because Matthew knew that Jesus loved him as he was, right? Because he saw him on the road as a tax collector. He knew that Jesus loved him no matter what. Because of that, he allowed Jesus into every area of his life. Commentator James Edwards writes, "The scandal of this story is that Jesus does not make moral repentance a precondition of his love and acceptance. Rather, Jesus loves and accepts tax collectors and sinners as they are. If they forsake their evil and amend their lives, they do so not in order to gain Jesus' favor, but because Jesus has loved them as sinners." Right, we know this. We cannot do anything to gain Jesus' favor. We're not going to do something, an activity, an act that's going to make God love us even more. But we can and we should respond to this unmerited love, unmerited favor in our lives. By inviting Jesus into his life, Matthew's life was changed. He went from being an outcast to a disciple. And Jesus wants to do the exact same thing with us. How do we go about doing this? I mean, faith grows through consistency, through obedience, through reliance upon God. And it's all very simple and doable. You know, spend more time with God and his word. Develop a strong prayer life. Worship regularly. Build Christ-centered relationships. And serve others with love. Simply put, the more time we spend with Jesus, the more he equips us for mission. Because he's molding us, shaping us. Right? The more time we spend with Jesus, the more we look and act and talk like Jesus. And he's equipping us the entire way, the entire time. So that brings us to number three. That after Jesus calls us as we are, after he equips us through relationship, Jesus transforms us and sends us. Mark continues, but when the teachers of religious law, who are Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but for those who know that they are sinners." I can only imagine how Jesus' heart must have sank when he heard the words of these teachers of the law. These individuals who were so uptight, who were so self-righteous, seemed entirely oblivious to the profound transformation that had occurred in Matthew's life. And instead of celebrating that change, instead of saying yes, yes and amen, they focused solely upon their rigid interpretations and their judgments. Matthew, once seen as a notorious tax collector and outcast, had undergone a significant transformation of heart and spirit. And it wasn't just some superficial shift. He had experienced a genuine renewal that had led him to embrace a new identity. Even more astonishing, Matthew was not keeping this life-altering experience to himself. He was eagerly inviting his friends and acquaintances to join him in hearing and experiencing this good news that he had discovered. It was a moment of contagious joy and hope, one that should have been recognized and celebrated by the teachers of the law. Instead, they failed to see the big picture. They were blind to the grace and mercy that were extended through Matthew's actions. Jesus didn't just accept Matthew into his circle. He transformed him in profound ways. This former tax collector, one who at one time solely focused on material wealth and personal gain, became the gospel writer who recorded Jesus's life and teachings and miracles for generations to read and reflect upon and study. Matthew's transformation is a testament to the powerful impact of Jesus' love and message. It illustrates how even those who have strayed, who are far away from God, can find purpose in redemption. Matthew's writings are not only chronicle the events of Jesus' ministry, but also invites the readers into a deeper understanding of faith and devotion. illustrating how one person's journey can inspire countless others. Through Matthew's narrative, we see a compelling invitation to explore the depths of Christian teaching and the transformative nature of God's grace. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to save sinners. And just like Matthew, he is calling out to you today. And you don't need to be ready. You don't need to have brushed the dirt off of your lives. You don't have to be qualified for it, because Jesus will equip you for it. Jesus will equip you for the journey he has in mind for you, the adventure, the direction. The question is for us today, is will you say yes to his call, and will you allow him to equip you for what is ahead? Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for your word for us. We're grateful, dear God, for Mark and how he records what is happening as Matthew is being called. We're thankful, dear God, for Matthew's response. We're thankful for Matthew's transformed life and whose words we can read today. Remind us again, dear God, we don't have to be perfect to follow you. We don't have to be perfect to have been called by you. We simply have to have a heart willing to say, yes, Jesus, I will follow after you. Thank you for equipping us and using even people like us, dear Jesus. Amen.